Hello and a warm welcome to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. What a fantastic weekend we have coming up. Cheltenham is back once again. We've got a great card there with the December Gold Cup being the highlight on the card. We've also got an Albert Bartlett and obviously hurdle trial there. That'll be interesting, a grade two. We'll see what the panel think about that. And we've got three competitive races at Doncaster to go through as well as getting the panel's selections elsewhere and their naps for the weekend. A good weekend for the Postcast naps-ish. Last weekend I landed mine with Spirit Danou at 6-1. Gary Moore and Niall Houlihan doing the business. Ed Nicholson, I'll come to you now, just narrowly beaten in the London National Handicap Chase with Beauport in second.
Can't believe it. I was at Chepstow watching it on the giant screen and I cheered it home. I thought it had won. It miles behind, then made the ground on the bridle and just it may be a little bit soft. It didn't get there in the end, did it? An old stager coming to do him on the line. But it wasn't a bad effort, but not as good as yours. Yours is always going to win.
Yeah, hopefully we can have some winning naps this week. And with the panel we've got on this show, I'm sure we will. And we've got Maddie Plough. Last week I mentioned on the show to make sure that all viewers and listeners got up to watch the Sunday racing at Hong Kong. And Maddie was out there all of last week. Maddie, great to have you back on the Postcast, first of all. And how was last week?
It was unbelievable, Sam. Yeah, I'm still a little bit jet-lagged, so if I look a bit weary, that's probably why. But, I've seldom been on a race course and seen anything like what we saw from Golden 60. The vibes, including from myself, were a little bit tempered beforehand with the draw and hadn't been seen since April, and he was an eight-year-old, and the noise from the crowd as he hit the front and just absolutely demolished the field in the Hong Kong Mile was unbelievable. I won't forget it in a hurry.
Yeah, the atmosphere out there just looked absolutely insane, especially on Sunday. And James Stevens, a smile on his face, as always. There always will be when Cheltenham's coming up this weekend. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I think my last race meeting was Hereford on a Thursday or a Wednesday, so it was a bit different to Golden 60. But no, two good days at Cheltenham, and you're right, it's always good when racing's back here.
Absolutely, yeah. We're going to be covering all of the action on ITV, so Cheltenham and Doncaster. I think we've got eight races to get through. As always, do like, comment, share and subscribe. Get your naps in down below in the comments. I'll try and respond to as many as possible. We're going to start off at Cheltenham for our first part of the show, and we kick off with the 1:15 there. We've got Handicap Chase over 2 miles, a Class 2 event, where Unibet's betting currently have In Excelsis Deo as the 15-8 favourite, narrow favourite there with Calico at 2-1, Fernambul Savola 11-2, Orkin Risk is 13-2, Prince Escalus is currently 12-1, Madara's 12-1, and Baron de Middleton, the outside of the lot, at 25-1. These prices are correct at the time of recording, do remember that, so prices may have changed slightly. Ed Nicholson, kick us off with a winner on this week's show.
Let's hope so. Difficult race. I mean, the joint favourites, or In Excelsis Deo's slight favourite, you know, better time of recording. Lightly raced individual, has looked really good on at times, but stayed on well last time, and it's my selection at 15-8 to beat Calico, who's the other favourite. I mean, the thing here, I think, is going to be the pace. He looks like he needs a fast pace over this trip of 2 miles. He looks more like a 2.5 miler. The way he stayed on last time certainly gave that indication. And he's going to get that fast pace, I think, with a few runners here, a few front runners that definitely need to lead. And I can just see him stalking in behind and coming there, jumping the last and hopefully sprinting away. So, yeah, that's going to be my selection. Harry Fry's going well at the moment, and Jonathan Burke's always riding Cheltenham very well. So, yeah, 2-1. But I can understand those people that might fancy Calico as well. Really good form. This has been a little maybe disappointing years gone by, but that form of John Bonner Aintree stands a test, doesn't it, really? And that looks like a horse that probably you would think would be well handicapped on that. But it's between the two for me.
Okay, but In Excelsis Deo, a narrow one for Ed Nicholson there. Maddy Plough, do you see this as a two-horse race, or do you think anything else could get into the mix?
See, this is a one-horse race, Sam. I think Unibet have got it right. I am being a bit tongue-in-cheek there, of course, but I'm with Ed. I like In Excelsis Deo. He's a horse, young horse, still only a five-year-old, been on my radar for a long time. And that form from his last runs worked out really nicely. Obviously, not long till May behind him ran a cracker in the Paddy Power. And Triple Trade, who actually beat Calico last time, was just ahead of him. Calico, I wonder about how much he finds off the bridle. He looked the winner for a long way last time and then just seemed to fade close home, and he's going to have to give a lot of weight to the youngster here, who I think is just progressing and improving. He, on the other hand, finds a lot off the bridle in Excelsis Deo, as Ed touched upon. I think he definitely should be favourite. I'm not sure there's that much depth in behind in this race. Orkin Risk likes to go forward, so does Calico. Should ensure a decent pace for Harry Fry's runner. And yeah, I'm fairly confident that In Excelsis Deo can get us off to a flyer at Cheltenham. It's going to be great to be back at the home of Gem Racing.
Okay, another vote for the JP McManus runner In Excelsis Deo. We couldn't agree last week on selections. Could we start off this week's show with a hat trick? James Stevens, who do you like in the opener here?
It's a hat trick, I'm afraid. Yeah, for a lot of the same reasons as you've mentioned, but the two that I think the standouts for me are, firstly, this is going to be really soft ground. It's been very wet here. I live in Cheltenham. It's very, very wet here for the last couple of weeks. John Pullen this morning told me it's going to be proper soft ground. So that's one of the key things. And this horse, first time out, was on very soft ground at Hereford last December. And the other key point, other than the ones that have been raised by the two very experts there, are that this horse's best form has always tended to be in the winter. And I just wonder whether he might be at his best at this time of year. Last season, he started the season really well, looked like he was going to be quite a smart 2 mile handicap chaser, and the wheels sort of fell off. His run up October was a lot better. He's had a good bit of time off. Soft ground, more of a stamina test because we're on the new course this time, and this is his right time of year. So hat trick complete, fingers crossed we're all right.
There we go. Good way to kick off this week's show. In Excelsis Deo to win the 1:15 then at Cheltenham. We move swiftly on to the highlight there on the card, which is the December Gold Cup Handicap Chase at 1:50. It's over 2.5 miles, a class one event where Thunder Rock is currently topping the market 100-30. Monmorel's 5-1. So Scottish is 11-2. Il Redotto 6-1. Fugitive 15-2. Fakir Dudery is 8-1. And double figures bar these. Ed Nicholson, there's extra places. There's so many different boosts that our viewers and listeners can get on this race. Tell us more.
Okay, let me start with just the offers we've got. We've got extra places on this race, as you would expect for a competitive handicap these days. Nichols, Paul Nichols, to train the winner. He's the most successful trainer in this race. I think he's had 38 runners, 5 winners and 12 places. I don't think I know. But also, he's done well in recent years. So we're pricing up him to win the race at 11-4. We also thought we'd do a little special GB v Ireland bet, because the GB team doesn't always do really well at Cheltenham, and we think they might do this year in this particular race. So GB trained winner 2-7, Irish trained winner 11-4. And we've also priced up the two course and distance winners. There are only two course and distance winners in this race, which is, I think, fairly, for my memory, fairly unusual for this race. So Il Redito and Torn and Frayed, if either of those two were to win, 9-2. So plenty of different offers available for the race. And I mean, why wouldn't you as a bookmaker? Because it is one of the most competitive handicaps of the season. And incidentally, I know that the top weight, Fakir Dudirez, wasn't in the race until 5 minutes before the 10 o'clock deadline. So I think a lot of trainers were thinking that they were going to be in with a racing weight. But obviously he's come in, carries 12 stone, rated 162. In the research for the show, I was trying to find out whether a horse like that has won this race. And obviously you only have to go back 5 years to Frodon, who won off, I think, 163, was it, maybe?
Four.
So you can see that it can be done, but it will be a hell of a performance if Fakir can do it. But obviously good form at Cheltenham. It was pulled out, wasn't pulled out. The Huntingdon race was called off, wasn't it, the Peterborough Chase? They've been ready to go for a while. That would be my selection at 8-1. I know that JP's got the second or third favourite with Scottish, but the top end of the market is packed full of second season chasers, as you would expect. Well handicapped second season, win something decent on the way up to be a graded contender themselves. But of the three that are the top, with Thunder Rock and Monmorel, I kind of thought the So Scottish was the third choice of those three. His jumping isn't the best for me. So I just think that maybe the JP, although the betting suggests that it's a second string, I think it may be the first string. So yeah, Fakir Dudere is my selection. They're right about 8-1, which with those extra places, I think is a good each way bet.
Absolutely, I agree. Top weight, Fakir Dudere. He absolutely loves Cheltenham. I'm a big fan of Fakir Dudere. It's just whether he can carry that 12 stone round on Saturday. James Stevens, who do you like in this one?
Yeah, I've landed on Fugitif. I'll start with your selection. I think how great is it to have a big Saturday handicap where you've got a real top class horse at the top of the weights? We've got two races like that for Protectorate later on, but fantastic. Hopefully it's the second that wins it though, Fugitif. As I mentioned earlier, the switch to the new course is a key thing, and that there's a bit more stamina on this race, and I think that's really going to suit Fugitif because I looked through his form on the new course and it's far, far better. And a very interesting chat this morning with Richard Hobson about it. I said, "He is it the stamina test?" And he said, "Partly." And I hadn't been any bit aware of this until he told me. Is that there's a the two out on the old course, because of the way this horse gets into his race and gallops and gets into a rhythm, he tends to always get caught out by two out. So I've watched back all his races, and there's a bit of truth to that, including last time where he's a really good fourth in the Paddy Power. So that's only made me a bit stronger. Soft ground, 2 mile, 4.5 at Cheltenham is absolutely what he wants. He's on a high-ish mark, but he still keeps knocking on the door, including at the Cheltenham Festival last year when second to Seddon. And his run last time I thought was really encouraging. He tanked through the race, looked like he was going to win. I mean, I've been thinking all week that the Paddy Power was stronger than this, but I'm not so sure anymore. It's a similar, but he's run really well at Cheltenham. He loves it round here. Handles the ground, lots to like, and yeah, we'll see how he jumps two out on the new course.
Okay, Fugitif currently 15 to 2 with Unibet, a great bet with the extra places on offer. And Maddie Plough, your selection for the December Gold Cup.
Yeah, it's great that these are now video as well as audio, Sam, because you could probably see me smiling when Ed was talking about Fakir Duderi, and that's because he's my selection as well. I looked at this race a couple of days ago, and I must be honest, as much as there's some up and coming, nice horses in it, I'm not convinced any of them are thrown in off their marks. And therefore, I was drawn towards the multiple Grade One winner, Fakir Duderi, off a mark of 162. As I said to Ed, Frodon won this race off 2 pound higher back in 2018. So class horses can come to the fore in this event. And I think it's interesting that a trainer as shrewd as Joseph O'Brien has opted to run him in a race like this, kept him in. And he's not a bad price either. It's not a really, really strong selection, but I do think he'll run a big race. And then at the other end of the handicap, out of it, in fact, by 3 pounds, Torn and Frayed would be the other one that I'd look at, especially if the ground, as James said, does get really soft because he's going to have no weight to carry. He was actually running a really nice race in the Paddy Power last time when he just fell two out. He was probably going to finish about fourth or fifth. And that was his first run for 658 days, course and distance winner, as we mentioned earlier on. So I could see him building on that performance, even though he's out of the handicap. I think he could run a nice race and is probably still pretty well handicapped. But yeah, Fakir Duderi around the 8 to 1 mark, and Torn and Frayed, I think you can get around 18 to 1, 16 to 1 on him.
Okay, yeah, Fakir Duderi, a couple of votes for Fakir Duderi, Fugitif for James Stevens, and watch out for Torn and Frayed at a bigger price, according to Maddie. And as always, do get involved with those offers that Unibet have. Plenty of different boosts there, as well as the extra places. Let's move on to the 225 then at Cheltenham. Another really good handicap chase here, this time over 3 mile, 2 furlongs. And Broadway Boy is currently the 100-30 favourite. 300 through 5, 7-2. Melina Girl is 5-1. Protectorat is 11-2. City Chief, 6-1. Easy as that for Venetia Williams' team, who just have a win at every big Saturday now at 15-2. And double figures, the rest of them. Ed Nicholson, any offers on this race?
Yeah, we've got what's called a super boost. Now, you may not know, or the listeners or viewers might not know what a super boost is with Unibet. It's where we boost every horse in the race to the next price up the ladder. So let's say with 5 minutes to go, Broadway Boy was 100-30. We'll be showing 7-2. If it was 9-2, you'll get 5-1. But whereas in the many options that we choose the boost, in this particular option, you choose the boost. So you can boost any horse in this race, and it's called a super boost. As for the race itself, well, I don't know if everyone remembers, but Broadway Boy, I remember when he made his debut at Market Raising. I don't know if anyone, he was odd. He was a big price, four runners, and he was back to, well, a little bit odds on then evens. And I bet they couldn't believe he got beaten. He got beaten a 2.5 mile novice hurdle at Market Raising to a horse that I think is rated about 115, 117. And he's gone on and won plenty of races since Broadway Boy, and he's shown himself to be a well above average horse. I think it was like 126 over hurdles, but he's done well over fences, but he's on 146 here. I just thought that was quite a high mark for him. So I was looking to take him on. on the other side of the fence is a horse that, you know, we spoke about it earlier on, or James did, Protectorat, who's brilliant. I mean, he won the Unibet Many Clouds, one of 2,203 races we've sponsored over the years, and that was a great occasion. If you remember, it was terrible weather, it was awful weather, and just that kind of put him forward as a contender for the big grade ones once he won that. But I'm going to go for 3 under 3.5. McNeil colours, I don't think will win the December Gold Cup, but I think they might win the next race here. 3 under 3.5, Paul Nicholls, Harry Cobden's been backed in the market from around about sixes. He's got some good form in chases, 4 from 11. He actually made his debut at Chepstow in a good race there, and got beaten. But I remember Max McNeil not wanting, he doesn't tend to watch his horses during his races, does he, James? You've seen him many times, and he was happy with that run when he came second, and he's proved himself to be a decent horse. Ran really well last time out in the Badger Beer, he's had his second wind surgery as well. Just got the feeling there's a bit more improvement to come. So around about 9 to 2, I think he is at the moment with us. That will do for me.
Okay, yeah, I can see it as well. And Maddie, is there a smile on your face for this one? There was for Fakir Dudaree, but any agreement with Ed on this one?
Not so much. I love Broadway Boy. I spoke to Tom Bellamy after he rode him last time. And it's interesting, this horse, he's never had a huge reputation. You'll remember Santos and Davis, obviously last time, preferred... we've all been caught, not last time, the time before, sorry, to him, and he was second to Flooring Porter, with We've All Been Caught in third that day. And then last time it was just a spectacular jumping and galloping performance. And I think although those novice chases are quite small fields, he's probably been beating an all right level of horse. I take Ed's point about the mark, but his Racing Post rating, such as the style of his racing, have all been quite high, 143, 146, 153, still improving. He's only 5. So for me, he is definitely the worthy favourite. If there is a horse in here who is the wrong price, it's got to be Elvis Mail for Nick Alexander. Again, you're talking about Racing Post ratings, and they're around the 142 back at Ayr in October 2022, then at Doncaster in the Skybet Handicap Chase, 142 last year. Earlier last season, and then last time out of Kelso, 149, when beating Highland Hunter, Empire Steel, Burroughs Diamond, and of course the Grand National winner Corrick Rambler was back in 5th. This horse has been totally transformed since he's gone up in trip to marathon distances, and he still gets Bruce Lynn's £3 claim. I think if he was trained in any other yard, he'd be a much shorter price. He is bound to travel strongly off the strong pace that's going to be set by Broadway Boy. That was a tough race last time. But look, Nigel Twist and Davis horses are still absolutely flying. 27% strike rate as we speak. I do like Broadway Boy, and I think he's the right favourite, and that boost is quite appealing. But off the same perch, Elvis Mail is definitely one to note for Nick Alexander team. A favourite hasn't won this race in the last 10 years, so maybe Broadway Boy can be the first to do it.
Okay, Broadway Boy looks the right favourite according to Maddie, but Elvis Mail at 10 to 1 currently with Unibet may be a bit overpriced in the 225. And James Stevens, who do you like in this?
Yeah, I'm going to go against the two here. Agree about Broadway Boy. I mean, it's a phenomenal season. Obviously, we brought a lot of Cheltenham meetings. When he won at Cheltenham in April, I thought, wow, this would be a nice horse for sort of summer racing and things like that. He's just gone on beyond my belief. And the way he won on soft ground, which I completely drew a line out of him for last time, was really impressive. I'm not quite sure he'll be at his best on soft ground. I think he's going to be a better horse in the spring. And he's had a busy campaign, so I'm willing to take him on. 3 under 3.5, agree. Good run last time in the Badger Beers.
That horse just doesn't win, though, does he? I think it's so frustrating in these big handicaps.
Yeah, partly that. And also, I'm quite interested to see whether he might be better right-handed than left-handed. Some of his form suggests he might be, so I'm curious about that. But the horse I'm really interested in is City Chief for Nick Henson, who had been a bit of a bad jumper, but jumped a lot better last time. And the interesting thing this time is last month at Cheltenham, he carried 12 stone. This time here, he's going to carry 10 stone 4 because Protectorat's in that. And if you go through his form, there are signs that he could be a really, really good horse. And it might just be a case that he's completely chucked in off this mark, 141. And the fact that he's carrying such a low weight in a relatively good race, There should be a bit of pace on, which I think would suit him, because I think this is going to be, I think he's going to end up wanting further in time. He looks like a proper old stayer. And yeah, he's an interesting horse. He's not the sort of horse you'd associate with these colours and Nicky Ensign, but to me, he just seems like a slow old horse that's just going to want low weight and just carry on running and galloping. So happy to give him a chance, particularly how he jumped better last time. But Ed might know a bit more about him, given Unibet's relationship with Nicky.
Well, I haven't spoken to Nicky about the Saturday runners, but he is a horse they like. I know that when we've been there before. And he's, as I mean, you know as much as I do, James, speaking to him, he does. I mean, everyone watching knows that he gives his horses time. And if it's a nice horse, he gives it even more time. And City Chief has been given time from that his first run and obviously from his runs last season as well. And he has been the market supporter this morning since we put the prices up. Eights, if you at time of a viewing, he's 11-2 with Unibet, but he was available much bigger with other firms earlier on in the day. One thing I would say about Elvis Mail, it's not just the trainer, but I think if it was Kelso, I think I'd be looking at him to win. I think he's won five times at Kelso, and seems to be a different horse there. I was looking at him because he did run so well first time out, but I kind of got the feeling that might have been one of the races they were going for. It's quite a good race at Kelso. If you're a Kelso specialist, I think you probably aim for that race, don't you? So that kind of put me off. But he's a win machine, that's for sure. And as you say, he's got a low weight, or relatively low weight, and at 10-1 or thereabouts could be an each way alternative. But yeah, I like the race. It's got a nice shape to it as well, you know, with the top class horse at the top, obviously, with plenty of history on soft ground and staying chases. It's going to be a good race, I think. And it's another really decent race on what is a cracking day's racing.
Absolutely, yeah. And we move on to a cracking race next. We've got a Grade 2 coming up, which is the 3 o'clock there at Cheltenham, which is an Albert Bartlett Novices Hurdle. This is over 3 miles, with Shanna Bob is 7-4 favourite currently with Unibet. Destroy the Evidence is 9-2. Illico Dakota is 6-1. Cadell is 7-1. Kerry Hill is 9-1. Yes Day is also 9-1. Moon d'Orange is 11-1. And 18-1 bar these. Ed, Nicky Henderson, first of all, James has mentioned City Chief, but how can viewers and listeners get hold of kind of Nicky's blog ahead of the weekend? What's the best way to go about that?
Well, we released the blog as soon as we talked to Nicky. So Fridays is up there now as we speak. Saturdays is being done, and that will be up hopefully by close of day today, or maybe first thing tomorrow morning. So we do have the blogs for both Nicky and Nico every weekend or whenever there's ITV racing. And it actually is the most read blog on Unibet's site, not just for UK, but global. He's phenomenally, people want to know what he says. And I'm always fascinated. And the first every month, just to check where the top 10 is, like a league table of football. I kind of want to know how popular Nicky Henderson's blog's been, and every month it is the most read. So yeah, we're really happy that Nicky's on board with us, and he's a great ambassador, as I'm sure you agree. But this particular race, Shanna Bob, I don't know if you saw the Plumpton race, guys, but he won that really well by 7 lengths, but needed to be pushed along to do so, and he obviously needed the run and the experience. And I think, you know, plenty of people will be thinking he can win this. He was 2-1 when we first opened up the betting, which wasn't that long ago. And he's now 13-8. And I think he's going to be backed throughout the course of the next 24, 48 hours. But it's interesting because he's a winner at Plumpton for Nicky Henderson. And people don't think that Nicky Henderson has too many Plumpton horses that end up being any good. But he's always telling us that there are two horses that won their prep races at Plumpton before winning at the Cheltenham Festival. Penton Hills was one of them. And all the way back, do you remember the first bout, the Triumph Hurdle? He actually had to run another time to get into the race. But he ran at Plumpton as well. So Nicky does send a good horse to Plumpton, and maybe Shanna Bob might be another one.
Okay, so it's going to be Shanna Bob for you then. Currently 13-8, like I said, well supported already from 2-1 into 13-8. Unbeaten horse going into this, James Stevens. Do you like the Fav?
I'm going to take the Fav on just because of the price, really. I think he's too short from what he's achieved. Was pushed along, and I don't think you need to win multiple champion trainers to realise that horse needs a bit of a trip. I'm hoping that's the same for the Dan Skelton runner, Illico Dakota, who has only just had one start in Britain so far, was second at Lingfield, travelled really well through the race and was just pipped at the post. Looked to me like a horse who's going to improve for a step up in trip. He won his point to point on heavy ground and won that by 12 lengths, so you could imagine conditions would be fine. They paid 100 grand for him. He's been spoken highly about by the Skelton team, which is all positives, but that first run was really eye-catching. He looks a smart horse in the making, and this is a tough race. This is a race that takes a lot of getting. It's, you look at some of the winners in the past, the sort of Kilbrick and Storms, and you know what I mean, Harry, this is a race where you need to be a proper stayer, and he strikes me as a proper stayer. Yes, Stay is another one who could be that sort of in that bracket of a proper stayer, so he's a decent each way shout, but Illico de Cot I think is a really smart horse, and I think he's just going to fry for these conditions.
Absolutely. Skelton's runners are definitely coming on for the run, and Skelton's made that very clear that'll be the case. You can expect more from Illico de Cot, currently 6-1 with Unibet. Maddie, who are you with in the graded Albert Bartlett Novice Hurdle?
It's a tough one. I am sort of in agreement with James in that Illico de Cot entered my tracker as soon as that Lingfield race had passed. I think he's a super prospect, but I do wonder, for horses pretty lightly raced, this race could turn into an absolute war, and I wonder if he just wants that just yet. So I think I'll probably wait until nearer the time before nailing my colours to the mast in this race, because it's not always class that wins it. It can be, you know, race hardiness and, you know, readiness at this stage in their careers. As James touched upon, Shanna Bob at the prices, a horse with those connections is never likely to be one that I'm going to support, just because I certainly wouldn't get rich with the amount of money I have backing those ones. So yeah, I think it's an interesting race because you've got the likes of Destroy the Evidence and Cadell for Lucinda Russell, who are really battle hard, and they're, you know, they're going to stay very, very well. They're going to respond to pressure. Kerry Hill, who beat Cadell getting weight last time, I was really taken by the way he travelled up at Kelso and eventually saw off Lucinda Russell's horse, who was the 5-6 favourite that day. For Ruth Jefferson, I think she could have another nice horse here, but of course not favoured at the weights now, off level weights. So I'm just going to wait and see how this one plays out. But I, of the horses in the market, the one who I'm most drawn to is Illico de Cot. I think he's a lovely long-term prospect. It's just whether he's quite ready for this. But I guess at around the 7-1 mark, that's a chance that we'll probably be willing to take.
Okay,
I should mention yesterday that James pointed out, because it's owned by a friend of mine. It's his first ever horse, and it made its debut at Chepstow in a bumper, and then won at Uttoxeter. They've always thought a lot of this horse. They weren't going to overrace it this year, but the owners live in Cheltenham. They live about 250 metres away from the racecourse. So I think they've probably forced the hand to run him here. But John Joe O'Neill, I often speak to him about this horse because it is my friend's horse, and they do think it will make a nice 3-mile staying chaser, obviously, because it's running in a 3-mile novice hurdle. But I don't know, the extra distance might just help him on this occasion, and he's not too far behind on ratings. So I wouldn't put anyone off yesterday, certainly each way in this particular race.
There we go, yesterday, certainly one to keep an eye on then. Move on to the final race then, we're going to be covering here the 3:35, which is a mare's handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles. Another Class 2 event where Bonte is the 3-1 favourite. Nurse Susan, currently 5-1. Fear to Glory is 11-2. Wind of the Lightning is 6-1. Cockalico is 6-1. Good Luck Charm, 8-1. 12-1 and bigger about the rest of them in here. I believe, Ed Nixon, we have a Unibet Ambassador double boost here. Is that correct, with Shanna Bob and Fear to Glory?
Yeah, we've got the boosting on Nicky Henderson's and Nico de Boinville. Not just the special boost that we've got, but we've also boosting all their rides on their on this meeting at Cheltenham this weekend. So go to unibet.co.uk to get the latest prices on the special offers and the boosts on Nico de Boinville and Nicky Henderson's rise throughout the course of the day. And obviously they have a great chance with Theatre Glory here. Second favourite, had that one run already, sets her right for this particular contest. But again, it's a good race. It's a deep race, isn't it? Again. And I'm going to oppose the Henderson de Boinville horse and go with the favourite, Bonte, who researching for the show, I was kind of looking at the videos and went into the excellent Racing Post analysis and then went into the quote section. And I was just taken by the fact that after it won last, she won last time out, 40 days ago, Fergal O'Brien was quoted as saying that'll put us straight on for this particular race. They were looking at this race before the Uttoxeter race, which was over, if I seem to remember, a shorter distance than this one. And this horse is getting better and better. They'll be spot on here, probably still well handicapped, I would say. And Fergal O'Brien's horses are in excellent form. In the last 14 days, 18 runners, 5 winners, and a further 7 horses placed. So everything looks right, really, for Bonte to run a good race here, and has significantly been back since the prices in the industry came out. So, yeah, that's the one for me.
Okay, yeah, Bonte 3-1. And like Ed said, you can get access to all the quotes as well. Sign up to Racing Post Members Club, get all the quotes, you can get all the race replays, access to the Racing Post Pro Card. Currently 50% off your first 3 months, worth getting involved with that. Maddie, our finale from Cheltenham on Saturday, who are you with in this?
It's a tough race, isn't it? I must admit, I don't have a really strong view. I was a bit disappointed with the finishing effort of Theatre Glory last time, albeit that was a stronger race than this. Several that I had a look at, but ultimately, I don't know about you guys, but often punting strategy towards the end of a day when it comes to bumpers and that sort of thing, I always look towards Fergal O'Brien to get me out of trouble. And this might not be a bumper, but Bonte's won a couple of those. And as Ed outlined, she's a horse who's been laid out for this particular race. I do think she's probably still well handicapped off her mark of 123. It's not terribly original, but she's lightly raced. I think there's more improvement there. Others to note, I think Winter the Lightning is a very lightly raced horse again, who's improving. It was an impressive win at Weatherby last time up in the handicap, but she should be on the premises. And then another one, again, just because I don't have a strong view on this race, I think it's worth talking about, is Stainsby Girl, who finished second at Haydock last time. That was a particularly good run from the front, travels strongly. And talking about Elvis Mail earlier, she beat him twice last year. She's usually pretty reliable, and if there are any chinks in the other's armour, she should go close. But yeah, I think Bonte is the obvious one. No points for originality, Sam.
There we go, Bonte for Maddie. James Stevens, we kicked off the show with a hat-trick of selections. Are we going to end Cheltenham with a hat-trick of selections?
No. Bonte, yeah, look, she's clearly the one to beat on form. Her form when she was in the bumper grade was really, really good. And I remember her winning at the November meeting and thinking this could be the next big horse for Fergal O'Brien. It's not quite happened for her yet, but it's still early days. I think she's only had 4 runs over hurdle, so it's far from over for her. Cocklico is a really interesting horse in here. I'll be just seeing what the ground is like on Saturday before getting involved, because I'm a little bit unsure whether she wants it that deep. But her form in mares handicap hurdles is really, really good. I don't think she's been out of the front two in about 5 starts, and beat West Balboa at Kempton as well. So that's, she's got some really good form. And I know Anthony Honeybull has got half an eye on the mare's hurdle for her, so rates her very highly. Needs to improve, but this is sort of a stepping stone towards that. But the one I like at an each way price is at the very, very bottom. I Love a Nightlife for Joe Tizard. A horse that won the mare's final at Newbury last March, a race which is typically very good. Wasn't particularly as strong last year, that said, but it's usually a really strong renewal, and you usually get horses primed for it because there's a good pot on offer. She won that quite easily off a mark 119. She's rated £5 higher now. And under 2 runs since, she ran at the April meeting where the ground was too quick. And then at Wincanton last time, she badly needed the run. And she was carrying 12 stone that day as well, which is a tough test first time out. She's got a ground here. She's still highly regarded. They still think she's a classy horse. And if she does bring that Newbury form here, and given the fact she's probably going to like Cheltenham, she's definitely going to like the ground, and it's going to be pretty deep by the end of the day, she could definitely outrun her odds.
Okay, I Love the Nightlife. Currently 18-1, the outside of the field with Unibet for the finale at Cheltenham on Saturday. And that is Cheltenham done and dusted. We're going to be covering Doncaster shortly after this.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out, you're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet, you're on.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, proudly sponsored by Unibet, Sam Hart, Ed Nicholson, James Stevens and Maddie Plough, spinning you through the weekend action. We move across to Doncaster now for three competitive handicaps there, and we start off with the 205, which is a novices limited handicap chase, class 3 event over 2 mile, 3 furlongs. The betting with Unibet currently looks like this. Serendipity is 3-1. Mr. Who is 130. Find the Time 9-2. Deeper Blue 6-1. Cruise Control 7-1. Glory and Honor 17-2. And double figures about the rest of them. And this is this week's money back if second or third, race head. Is that correct?
That's right, Sam. Yeah, just the 9 runners. So not a bad offer. Money back if your horse comes second or third. Terms and conditions apply. Do look at the website for those. And but it is a competitive race. That's probably why we're offering it. But 130 the field, I would say any horse in this race could win. It really has that look of the feeling about it, doesn't it? But my eye was drawn to Find the Time. And quite a lot of people do say this, especially Maddie and James already said it, I think, today. But trainer form is really important when you're having a bet. And I went on my database and put up all the trainers over 14 days. And Nicky Richards has got the best recent record over 14 days for any trainer that's had 10 runners or more. He's got an 80% win and place record for the last 14 days. 10 runs, 4 wins, and another 4 places. His horse is in cracking form. Find the Time was a winner 28 days ago for him with the same jockey, Connor Rabbit, and a conditional jockeys race, if I remember rightly, just 4 runners at Wetherby. And Find the Time won that, having previously been reluctant to race in his only other chase. And that was at Sedgefield, I think. And he didn't want to race. And then he almost pulled himself up. And it transpired that he kind of needed earplugs. So he wore earplugs last time. And it was a much different horse. And I'm just hoping the earplugs win the race again. And that Find the Time can progress. Because he's still relatively inexperienced. Obviously, this will just be his third chase, as a lot of these horses won't be racing that often over fences. But I think given the trainer form, given the way the race is, I just think that he's worth trying at the price. He's a much bigger price than Serendipity, who was in that Sedgefield race. And they were both 7-2 in that particular race. Obviously, he finished miles behind Serendipity. Is it how you pronounce that? But I just noted that they were the same price. He's got £1 advantage for this particular race, but I just think it's a different horse that turned up at Wetherby, and the earplugs definitely made a difference. Even the trainer used that as an explanation when the stewards asked for the improved form. So I'm going to give this horse another chance, Find the Time, just to keep on the improvement.
Okay, Nicky Richards, Find the Time at 9-2-4. Ed Nicholson, James Stevens, who do you like in our first race from Doncaster?
Yeah, I looked at this race before the prices came out, which I think is quite an interesting thing to do. And the two I landed on were Mr. Who and Deeper Blue. Wasn't meant to be a rhyme. But I think given the prices, Mr. Who is 130 and Deeper Blue, I see a bit of money for Ed. 11-2 now from 6-1.
Yeah.
Was a little, 6-1 earlier when I saw. He's a horse I'm really interested in because a long time ago, the Harry Fry team thought he could be the real deal. On his maiden hurdle or novice hurdle at Chepstow at the Persian War meeting, he gave Stage Star something to think about, which takes some doing. And since then, it's been off and on for him. He had pretty much the whole of last season out after a decent chase and debut, and returned at Plumpton this year with a really, really good effort behind a horse of Dan Skelton's called, if I get my document up, Sacre Coeur, who is a really good course specialist at Plumpton, who made a brilliant effort from the front, was just never for catching. This horse plugged on and galloped all the way to the line, suggesting that Doncaster would suit him a lot better than Plumpton. Probably come on for that effort given it's his first run in about a year. Strikes me as a horse who's very well handicapped despite the £2 rise. Good soft ground is ideal. He looks the value for me.
Okay, there we go. A couple there. Like you say, a rhyming double there, Mr. Who and Deeper Blue for James Stevens. Maddie Blair, we keep saying this is a tricky race. We could say that about every race this weekend, I think.
Yeah, it's a tough one. But I'm really looking forward to this. And it's interesting you were talking about Nicky Richards, Ed, because I was actually speaking to a colleague the other day, and we were talking about people who we like speaking to, people who, when we ring them, they're reliable at picking up the phone and they're always a joy to speak to. And I nominated Nicky Richards because he will never let you down, that man. If he has a winner somewhere and you need to speak to him, Nicky always answers the phone and he always gives great feedback, and he's just a lovely, lovely man. So can never begrudge Nicky Richards a winner. That said, Find the Time is not my selection here, and neither is Deeper Blue, although he was on my radar. And as James says, it was an eye-catching run at Plumpton last time. The one I was interested in, and again, I like to try and find value in these races, and that often means taking a bit of a chance, is Henry's Friend. He hasn't yet run over fences, incredibly lightly raced, only had 6 runs, but some really good form in that. On his hurdling debut at Aintree last year, he chased home Man at Work and Grey Dawning. Grey Dawning's shown what he can do with some excellent performances. And then he was second in that good Grade 2 at Sandown, the Winter Novices Hurdle, behind Henry II, beating a couple of nice prospects there. And after that, later on in the season, he was a winner at this track, over this distance, albeit over hurdles, at Doncaster, beating Moonhunter and Ideas Villaretz. I've probably absolutely butchered that. But anyway, he clearly likes this track. Was then run in a Premier Handicap hurdle at Aintree, the one that Westbow Boer won, and finished 20th of 21. But the explanation given was that he got really upset in the prelims and didn't like the large field. So there's an excuse for that run. And I just think if we wouldn't have seen that at Aintree, would he be a shorter price here? He's off a mark of 128, which I think is very, very fair. Ben Pauling, he's had a couple of winners. He could be in better form, admittedly. But this horse has had wind surgery. And just at the prices, I think he was the one that stood out for me. Henry's Friend.
Henry's Friend, yeah, currently 12-1 with Unibet. Big old price, some good prices on this week's podcast. We love to see that, especially if we can land some winners. We move on to the 240, and swiftly on, we've got a handicap hurdle here over 2 miles, another Class 2 event where Jin Coco and Clear White Light are currently topping the market 4-1. Rare Edition 6-1. Tommy's Oscar is 13-2. Matchless is 15-2. Soaring Glory is 10-1. And 12-1 bar these. Ed Nicholson, what have we got on this race?
Well, we're offering extra places for a start. 4-1 the field, competitive race, so extra places available with Unibet. It is a difficult race, but I mean, my eye was instantly drawn to the top weight, Tommy's Oscar, given the competition that he faces today and given what he's been running against in the past. I would suggest much better quality. I remember Tommy's Oscar from 2 or 3 years ago, was it, when he won the Unibet New One hurdle at the Grade 2 at Haydock, which no longer exists, that race. And he had a great season that year. I think he won 4 races and finished 8th in the Champion Hurdle behind Honeysuckle, the Unibet Champion Hurdle behind Honeysuckle. And I think he's got a really good chance here, I must admit. I thought the price is quite interesting as well, 6-1. If memory serves me, he was travelling really well last time out, wasn't he? Was it the old Rowan over fences? Maybe I've got that wrong, but I seem to remember. Yeah, that's right. In the old Rowan, he was travelling really well. Although it was a chase, it became a flat race because there was no fences jumped in the home straight. But he was the last one off the bridle and just got a bit out-battled. Or maybe the distance was a little bit too far for him. He has won over 2 mile 3. He's a 3 mile winning pointer-pointer. But all his best runs have been over 2 miles over hurdles. He's run a couple of good races over 2 miles 4. But I would suggest that he's probably better over fast run 2 miles on hurdles. And I just thought everything looked rosy. I thought I liked the price as well. 6-1 was all thereabouts. So Tommy's Oscar will do for me.
Okay, top weight Tommy's Oscar for Ed in the 240 there. Maddie Plale, who are you with?
I'm with Rare Edition. My eye was instantly drawn to him. If you look back at his form from last season, okay, yes, he was pulled up in the Supreme and it didn't fare much better in the Grade 1 behind in the pocket at Aintree. But before that, looked really good when winning over this course and distance and beating Matchless, and then beat Rubo by 7 lengths on Boxing Day at Kempton, form that's obviously worked out very well now with that horse emerging as a champion hurdle contender. He then went on to finish 2nd in the Sydney Banks. But I think 2 miles is this horse's trip. he's by Califette, and some of those can be quite lively, enthusiastic types. As much as there is stamina in his pedigree, he's got a rating of 136, and this sort of race should be much more his bag than Grade One contests. Bradley Roberts takes £5 off, and I think he's the one for me.
I completely agree with you there. I think Bradley Roberts taken off the five, they're rated 136. I think this horse is far better than that, and I think we could see a big day, especially from this course and distance winner, Rare Edition, currently 6-1 with Unibet. I like him a lot. James Stevens, who do you like?
Yeah, I'm in the Rare Edition camp as well. Not a lot much else to add from what Maddie said there. I mean, that form at Kempton last year is clearly very, very good, and he looked extremely good that day. I thought he would be possibly Britain's best chance in the Supreme, albeit it was going to be dominated by Ireland anyway. Can't add a lot more, but you mentioned Bradley Roberts. Little fact about Bradley Roberts is he rides out Rare Edition every day at home, so he knows the horse very well. I think this horse will prove much better than his mark. If he's back to his best, I think he wins, as simple as.
There we go. Yeah, some confidence behind Rare Edition in the 240 at Doncaster. Our final race that we're going to be previewing from Doncaster is the 315. They're a handicap chase, class 2 event over 3 miles, where Mr. Coffee, God, this horse, he needs to get a win in the bag for me. 9-2. Forward Plan is 5-1. Sail Away is 11-2. Whistle in the Dark, 6-1. Two Shots of Tequila, 15-2. Nesta Park and Man the People, 17-2. And 11-1 and bigger the rest. Ed Nicholson, oh God, I'd love to see Mr. Coffee win this race. He just never seems to want to win for me. Anytime I'm on, he'll never win.
He's a lovely horse. When you come into the Guinness and the Seven Barrows, he's one of the first horses you see. He's on the right-hand side, just before you go into the main stables. There's three of them. And he puts his big old head out, and he's so lovely. Last time I was there, he was the horse that I was patting the most. He just can't win, can he? I mean, that's the problem. That head can stick out the stable door, but it can't stick on the line first, can it? 10 chases, no wins. 8th in the Grand National. He's always there or thereabouts. He should have won the Cheltenham Festival with them. With Wally Cohen on board, it wasn't the jockey's fault. He just didn't want to go through with it. I mean, Nicky would hate me for saying that, but he's a little bit irresolute. He doesn't like going through with it, is what I'm trying to say. His second favourite here, 11-5 to 11-2. I think he's worth taking on, I'm afraid, but he is a lovely horse. He will be Nicky Henderson's probably one of his final attempts to win the Grand National, the race that he's never won. He's the kind of horse that might go and do it, you know. I mean, that's the kind of horse that will one day win a big one when no one's following him. I was looking at this race, and there's a horse who made his debut at Chepstow. I know James goes to Chepstow quite a lot as well, and they take a lot of jump in those fences. And Man of the People, when he won his novice chase there with Paddy Brennan on board, Paddy did an interview with At the Races or Sky Sports Racing afterwards, and said he's never ridden a novice that gave him a better feel first time out over fences than Man of the People. Now, he was jumping a little bit higher to begin with, but then he jumped a bit better. And then he won the Seymour Business Trophy next time out at Chepstow, which is a really good race. It's always won by a good horse. And I thought he was going to be really good. I thought he was going to be, you know, one of their best novice chasers. But it didn't really go right for him. He pulled up recently last year in the Scottish National. Ben ran a really good race at Exeter. And if you watch the race, I think he was a bit unlucky to lose, because he jumped well and bold, as he always does. And a horse came to take him on at the last, headed him, and he got back inside him and beat him on the line. But something flew on the outside that he didn't see. I think he would have battled back. I think he's that kind of horse. He loves a battle. And last time out, I can't believe there's a U or an F next to this horse, because he jumped so well. But he was unseated. I think it's fair to say, in the Racing Post comments, they say that the leader went across him. Looking at the video, that's been a little bit happy with him, because I think he could have jumped it if he did jump it, but Connor didn't stay on, unfortunately, because the horse kind of made him stutter as he went into the fence. But Man of the People is one of my favourite horses. He's a lovely big horse. We talk about Mr. Coffee being big. Man of the People, we could have a big horse off here, because I think Man of the People is almost as big, if not as big, as Mr. Coffee. And this is definitely going to be heart over head here, but I'm backing Man of the People at a fair price.
Okay, Man the People of Red. Those who are actually watching the show on YouTube would have seen me scrolling down my phone on the Unibet app looking for Mr. Coffee in the Grand National market. Currently a 66-1 shot of Unibet for the Grand National, for those who are shrewd and like a go at that. But God, if he won a Grand National, God, that would actually probably make my year next year if he would have won a Grand National. But let's just wait.
I think Nicky might retire on the spot, actually. Not retire, retire on the spot.
Certainly would have to. Maddie Plough, who do you like in our final race?
Yeah, I've scoffed throughout that, and that's because Ed's stolen my thunder. He might be going with his heart with Man of the People, so am I, because I thought exactly the same when he won those two races at Chepstow, and I actually spoke to Fergal O'Brien and sort of said, you are going to go for the Scottish Grand National with this horse, aren't you? And he said yes, and he did get there. Things didn't quite go to plan, but I have long been a fan of Man of the People, and if you follow my thoughts at all, you know I'm a big fan of horses by Marler. And he is another. They just seem to improve so much for chasing. And I think he's going to be one of the really good sires that we're going to see in the next couple of years. So lightly raced, really, when you think about it. Just had the six runs over chase fences, won two of them, was only narrowly beaten at Exeter behind Any News, as Ed said. And then at Ascot last time, he unseated at the fourth. That was too early. For us to sort of gauge anything from him, but he gets in off here off a really low weight, 11 stone one with Conor Brace on. It's a competitive race, there are good horses in there, but I think this is his race. The conditions should really suit him, the track, the distance, everything else. Forward plan, interesting, there's been quite a lot of money for him, and again he was well backed in the Badger Beers last time, wasn't he? So that's quite curious. Mr. Coffee, what can you say about him? It just makes me laugh. He was favourite when I initially looked at this race on the Racing Post website, and I just can't be having that. I mean, how can you keep backing a horse who just doesn't win and doesn't seem to want to win? I don't know. Sail Away is a horse I really, really like. Fifth last time at Newbury, I wouldn't be surprised if they were just biding their time with him until the summer and a bit of decent ground. Again, maybe back at Ayr for the Scottish National or something like that. But I have a hunch that today might not be the day for him for Sail Away. But it could be for Man of the People. And actually, at the prices, he's quite a strong fancy for me.
Oh, yeah, one of the things to mention that I should have mentioned is that one of the positive about Man of the People is that he's always looked a horse that I thought would appreciate cheek pieces. And he wore cheek pieces for the first time at Ascot, but only got far as a fourth friend. So you could say it's first time cheek pieces. You know, so I think that's a positive as well.
Okay, well, look, yeah. Man the People, a bit of confidence there. Come on, James, end the show with a big hat trick at this price.
Well, my feelings aren't very strong on this race at all, to be honest with you. The only one I had written down as a bit of an each-way shout was Man of the People, funny enough. yeah, you both commented on the race at Exeter. That's the best mate, which is usually quite a good race. And I think it was particularly good in October. It's a really warm race, ran at a proper pace, and he was unlucky to be beaten late by Any News, who is a good horse in his own right. Was a big price on the day, but he is a good horse. That was a proper run. I think connections have played around with him a bit. They thought he possibly might want 4 miles. He didn't quite get home. I think what he wants is a fast run, 3 miles on good soft ground. Looks like he's going to get it, doesn't he?
There we go. Man the People. That's exactly how we wanted to end Doncaster there. Fair price there and a decent hat trick to land on at the end. We're going to be getting the panel selections elsewhere as well as their naps shortly after this.
Members Club is now available on the Racing Post app. All Members Club subscribers can now access premium news and tips anytime, anywhere. Plus, if you're not already a member, you'll get 50% off your first 3 months. If you haven't already subscribed yet and want to join the greatest club in racing, simply visit racingpost.com/subscribe.
Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. As you saw from that advert there, 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club. Worth getting involved with that. Now it's time to see what the panel are looking forward to elsewhere, as well as getting their naps. We'll start off with what there is to look forward to. We've obviously got Cheltenham on Friday. We're recording this on Thursday, so we can talk a bit about the Friday card, and there might be some other races on Saturday that people are looking forward to. So James Stevens, I'll start with you. What are you looking forward to this weekend?
Yeah, well, we'll start with Cheltenham tomorrow. A horse that I really think is overpriced, mostly because of the yard, more than anything else, which is Donica in the 1:15 at Cheltenham tomorrow, taking on Dolly the Great in the 2 mile, 1 furlong handicap hurdle. He has been a really good horse so far this season. He won at, Ed will like me for this, the Unibet Persian War Meeting, first time up, in a novice hurdle, which is particularly strong. I think Altior won the race in years gone by. Nappers Hill won it. Dynamite Dollars going back a few years. It wasn't possibly as strong this year, but he won it really well, beating a horse called Artistic Endeavour, who I think is pretty useful as well. And then he was second at Cheltenham, and that was a really eye-catching run in what I think will turn out to be a very strong novice handicap hurdle. won by the Nicky Henson horse, Impose Toire, is it? Mm-hmm. Sam, you should know all your French connections. Rock solid form. Travelled well through the race. Looks to me like, again, says it again, the switch to new course is going to suit him very well. He's about 8-1, I see. Shouldn't be that big. He's behind horses that are trained by Nicky Henson, Paul Nicholls, Dan Skelton, when I think his form is far better. So, sorry, Nigel Hawk, you're not getting the same loving from the bookmakers, but hopefully we can make that pay. And the other one I like on Saturday, it's the Mayor's Chase Final at Hereford. Scirocco's Dream won really, really well over the same course and distance to tee herself up for it. It's worth quite a bit of money. I think she's going to be the one to beat, and she's a good at price as well. I was quite surprised at her price. Scirocco's Dream in the 1 o'clock at Hereford on Saturday.
And there we go. A couple to look forward to from James Stevens. Maddie, anything from you to look forward to away from the TV action on Saturday?
TV action tomorrow, Friday at Cheltenham, the 150. It's going to be a fascinating race. They might not be the highest rated mares, but it's competitive. The favourite's trained by Gavin Cromwell, who's already cleaned up in a couple of these Cheltenham races so far this year. Le Mal Mason, really difficult to know what to make of her form, given that she's so lightly raced, only had 7 runs under rules. The British handicap has given her a mark of 126. But the one I'm interested in is next in, and that's the course and distance winner, Walk in Clover. If you have a look at her 2 runs at Cheltenham this year, she's caught the eye on both, sort of held up and then produced late. She came to grief on her penultimate start behind My Mate Mozzie, but then third last time in that race that I mentioned earlier, won by Triple Trade, Calico was second. She stayed on really nicely. This has clearly been the target for her. Dan Skelton is a master at laying horses out for races, and I think he can probably get the better of Gavin Cromwell in this one. Walk in Clover, I think she should be incredibly tough to beat in the 150 at Cheltenham on Friday.
It's one for the 150 at Cheltenham on Friday. Yeah, looking forward to the cross-country chase, actually, the handicap chase there at 3 o'clock on Friday as well.
It's a great card.
That looks exceptional. It is a really good card on Friday. And Ed Nicholson, I'm sure you want to give a mention to the Unibet Middle Distance Chase Series Veterans Handicap Chase at 2:25 there tomorrow.
Yeah, it's in the middle of the two cracking races you've spoken about. So, yes, the 2:25 at Cheltenham on Friday is the second leg of the first series of the Unibet Middle Distance Chase Veterans Series. This is a new series. We've signed up a 5-year deal with the Jockey Club. There are 8 races in the first year, the final being at Haydock in April. £100,000 to the winner. It's for 10, 11 and 12-year-old horses running over 2.5 miles, which is why the middle distance words came into effect. And it's great that this race has got 9 runners, 150 rated horse in Sam Brown already. It's only the second race. The first race was at Kempton, which was the lowest of the full 8 in terms of prize money. It was 24 grand. This is 50 grand. There's a race later on in the series at 60 grand, and the final's 100 grand. So £340,000 worth of prize money up for grabs for this new series. I'm really excited about it. I think it gives a chance for these older horses to shine. We sponsor the final on what used to be Unibet Tolworth Day, but it's now called Unibet Veterans Day at Sandown on the 6th of January, I think it is, this year. And that's for 3-mile chases. And that's been so successful that we wanted to do something for similar over shorter distances. We spoke to the BHA and the Jockey Club. I had wanted to do it over 2 miles, but they were telling me there's not a big enough horse population for 10, 11, 12-year-olds for the 2-milers. So we kind of moved it to 2.5. And speaking to owners like Johnny De La Haye, trainers like Joe Tizard and Nick Henderson, they said that they'd support it, and they have. Joe Tizard had the winner of the first race, and he runs the same horse in this race. Ligeran, who is favourite, ran about 3-1, have to have chances, lightly raced 10-year-old. But there's some great horses in this race, and I'm really looking forward to, hopefully it gets some coverage as well, and we'll get even more runners for the next few races, because I'm hoping this will be as popular as the Unibet Veteran Series final at Sandown, which normally gets 12 to 16 runners in it. So this one, 9 runners, and who knows, the next one maybe even more.
Great initiative, that really is. Yeah, looking forward, like I say, really cracking card there on Friday. We've got a little bit of time left and we need to get the best bets of the weekend. We'll start in order because I know who the best bets are. Maddie, I'll start with you. Who's your best bet this weekend?
Well, I like to go for value, but hopefully I've already given you that with my other selections. So if it's a winner you're after, it's a winner I'm going to try and give you. The 1:15 at Cheltenham, back the way it where we started, and it's In Excelsis Deo for Harry Fry, Jonathan Burke, around the 2-1 mark. I think he should win.
Okay, In Excelsis Deo for Maddie. James Stevens, who are you with your nap?
We're going to go big or go home. Fugitive in the big one, the December Gold Cup at 150 at Cheltenham. Everything is primed for a massive run. Really good run in the Paddy Power last time. And I think the switch to new course, which I've banged on about all day, is finally going to pay off with Fugitive.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to stick with the same sort of form. I'm going to go to the 225, and I like Easy As That, who was sixth in that Paddy Power behind Stage Star. Stayed on really nicely towards the line. This is the first time they're trying this horse over 3 miles. And like I say, Venetia's horses, they're just in form, aren't they? They have been all season. She won the Big Beecher Handicap Chase last week with Shambard, who ran an absolute mighty race with Lucy Turner aboard. And I was quite impressed with this horse back in February. The win beating 5-star Getaway was really impressive. I think this horse will appreciate soft ground, and I'm quite excited to see this horse stepping up over 3 miles. So I'll take Easy As That, who, when we started the show, was 15-2 of Unibet, now 6-1. An absolute smash. So I don't know if anyone's trying to tune in and trying to get hold of my naps early, but yeah, after the form I've been in, don't want to brag about myself, but yeah, I get one selection a week, and I'm hoping that I can land another winner. Ed Nicholson, go on, we need a winner off you this week.
Well, first of all, I'm disappointed Maddie's not going for a big price. Last time I did a postcast with Maddie, she tipped up, was it a 25-1 winner at Goodwood?
Was,
do you remember?
It?
Oh, that was a Goodwood, yeah, for the Morning Dash, yeah, 25-1
winner. Oh, of course, yeah, Quickthorn, wasn't it?
Yeah, Tom Marcon went to the front and didn't see another rival. So
see, that's why I don't do many of these shows, because when I do, I like to impress.
I was waiting for the 25-1 winner, but
I nearly went with Man of the People, Ed, but we went with the shorter price in the end. I'll leave that to you.
Well, I'm going to go for a short price one as well. To be fair, I'm going to go for Ponte in the 3:35 at Cheltenham. I just think everything's in her favour. The stable have laid her out for this race. She's got good Cheltenham form. The trainer's in good form. And she's in good form and up to a distance which she'll be even better at. So I just think Ponte, and I think she probably will be backed as well. She's around about 7-2 at the moment. But yeah, that's the one for me.
Okay, yeah, Ponte. Fred Nixon, am I right in saying these are being boosted? And when can these boosts, when can listeners and viewers get these boosted?
Well, they're available from 9 o'clock on race day on Saturday, mm-hmm. but we're actually listening to what our customers say. We might introduce it much earlier for when these podcasts go out, postcasts mm-hmm. goes out in the future. But at the moment, it's 9 o'clock on the day of the race.
Okay, so currently 9 o'clock Saturday morning, you can get hold of those naps at a boosted price. So do look out for that. We'll have Man of the People as a joint next best for everyone this week. Let's just have that instead. Right, just quickly, what's everyone up to this weekend? Ed Nicholson, where are you off to this weekend?
Cheltenham for me. I'm getting early train tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to that. I really am looking forward to that veterans race, because not only are the horses great, but the owners and the trainers, you get to know them, don't you? And it's lovely when an older horse wins. So I'm looking forward to that race. And then if it goes well, I'll stay for Saturday.
Absolutely, yeah. It's honestly a great meeting, the Cheltenham meeting for December. Maddie Plough, Hong Kong last weekend. What's happening this weekend?
Something much more sedate, I think. Yeah, working from home pretty much. So looking forward to it, though. It's nice to have some downtime. And just, yeah, watching Cheltenham from home. Hopefully can pick out a few winners. We'll give them a good cheer and hopefully not upset the neighbours too much. But, yeah, looking forward to having a relax watching Cheltenham and getting some work done, getting back on the daily grind, Sam.
Absolutely. And James Stevens, those who've been watching the show for the past hour will see a dartboard behind you, and everyone will know that the World Darts Championships kicks off on Friday. Are you heading to the darts? Have you got a selection for everyone ahead of the Darts Championship?
No, I am heading next Wednesday to the darts, the Ali Pali. I've got a double session booked, so I'm glad I'm not on next week's postcast, because I don't think I'll be in a good way. But no, heading there, and this weekend it's two great days at Cheltenham. As Ed said, that veteran series is a really good initiative. It's great seeing the old horses there and things like the cross country. It's what this game's all about, seeing the familiar faces turn up time and time again. So credit to everyone for getting that involved. And yeah, two great races. Hope it's a good crowd. Set to dry here. So yeah, best of luck to everyone's selections at Cheltenham.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Best of luck to all our viewers and listeners. Of any selections you might be having, there's plenty of racing. You don't have to bet on every race. The MO here at the Racing Post and Unibet is safer gambling. Only bet with money you can afford to lose. Big thanks to all my guests as always. We're going to be back again next week for another postcast covering the Christmas racing period. Looking forward to that. It'll be an update on when that will be coming to you next weekend. But until then, enjoy the weekend and hopefully land a few winners.